see. It's great to see everybody here this morning. For those of you that are new, my name's Charlie. I'm the family pastor, and I'm going to be bringing the message today. Pastor Jesse started us 4 weeks ago on this series that we're doing called The Six Phases of Faith. Now, we are in the fourth week, but we are only in the third phase. Okay, so 4 weeks in, we're into the third phase of the six phases of faith. And so let me just kind of give you a recap of where we've been. Pastor Jesse told us that the first phase is dream. God's going to give you a dream. He's going to give you a God-given dream. And he shared with us that a God-given dream is bigger than we are. It's something that's bigger than us, because we can all sit around and dream, and we can dream these dreams about things that we can do, places that we can go, and we can actually do those things through our own power, through our own gifts, our own abilities. But when it's a God-given dream, when it's a dream that God has given you, you can't do it on your own. You got to have somebody else to come alongside of you to help you with that, to help encourage you with that. But most importantly, you need God in the midst of that dream. You need to have him in the middle of it. You need to have him leading it. You need to have him coming alongside of you and behind you to help you get through that dream. And I'm sure we've all in here have dreams. I'm sure we all have had dreams of some sort, one or another. I don't know what your dream is, but I know that like for my wife and I, this series has been really important to us because God's given us a dream. He's given us a dream about the jungle of Peru. He has placed in our hearts a love for the jungle that is so strong that we just can't shake it. And we don't know what that dream looks like. We don't know what he's doing in that dream. All we know that he has given us a passion and a dream for the jungle of Peru and the people of the jungle. And so we're going in a couple of weeks, Christian and I and Margarita, we're all going to head down and we're going to be there for a couple of weeks. And one of the things, well, she's going to be there for 6 months, but Christian and I are going to be there for a couple of weeks. And one of the things that we know that this is a God-given dream for us is because you need to speak Spanish in the jungles of Peru. I don't speak Spanish. I don't understand it. My tongue doesn't work that way. So I know that if I'm going to go down there for these couple of weeks, that I need to have God show up and help me with the language, because we're going without an interpreter. Yes, Margarita, she speaks Spanish, but she's not going to be with us the full time. There's going to be times where Christian and I are by ourselves out there. And so we're going to really need to be depending on God. And that's the thing about a God-given dream. It's one that you have to depend on him to be able to see it through. And then also, the next phase that Pastor Jesse told us about is decision. He told us that 1 out of 10 people make a decision to follow through with the God-given dream. And I'm going to tell you, that is a scary phase in the six phases. Because when you make the decision to act on the dream that God has given you, that means you need to tell people. I just told a bunch of people. It's scary. Because now then people know what our dream is. And we don't know what it is. We're still kind of in the dream state. You know, yes, we've made it public. We're letting people know that God's given us a passion for Peru. But we're still kind of in that dream part, because we don't know if he's just giving us that passion so that we can lead mission trips down there every summer. We don't know if he's giving us that passion that he's going to want us to go down for 2 or 3 months at a time. We don't know that maybe one day in the future, he's going to tell us to pack up and move down there. We don't know. But that's the scary part of telling it, because we don't know. We're just telling you that God's given us a passion for Peru. And so now then that part is out, now then when you let people know, God's given me a dream and this is what that dream is, now then people can hold you accountable, and nobody likes that. Because what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't come through? Then you start fearing and you start doubting and you start worrying and stuff. And so it's kind of a scary phase. But this is a scary phase that we're going to talk about today too. We're going to talk about delay, the dreaded delay. because a delay is going to come to every dream. And those of us in this room, we're Americans and we don't like delay, do we? We can't stand delay. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was standing out in the front during first service while the worship set was going on. I was just still meeting people that were coming in, saying hi to people. And I saw the oddest thing. The U.S. Postal Service pulled up in front of the church on a Sunday morning. And he gets out with an Amazon package. And he walks into the building and he hands it to me. I didn't know the U.S. Postal Service worked on Sundays, but they do for Amazon. Amazon knows that when you go online and you start shopping, you don't want delay. That's the reason they tell you, hey, once you spend $80-$90 a year to get Amazon Prime, you can get free shipping in the next day. Because they understand the fact that we don't like delay. I'd venture to say that some of you this morning, coming in this morning, especially if you're coming in from the county, that you're cruising along and you come in behind that person that's driving really slow, and you're probably pulling over and checking, you know, come on, man, I got to get to church. Come on, I got to stop, get coffee. I got to stop at Daylight Donuts. I got to go. Come on. And then you see that chance, and then you take off, and you're around them. Don't be listening to this part, okay? I don't want her to write us a ticket later. But I'm one of those people, too, that don't like delay. I don't like when I'm coming in and I get behind the tractor. And it's like, come on, I got to get around this thing. I got to go. But we don't like delay. We don't like delay anywhere we go. That's why we have fast food restaurants, because we want it now. We want to go. We can't stand it when we pull into the fast food restaurant and they go, can you pull up and park over there? No, I want it now. Let's go. And then what about in the grocery store? What do we do in the grocery store? We got our grocery cart full. What's the first thing you do? You look for the shortest line, don't you? That's what I do. And typically, I go for the self-checkout so I can get out faster because we don't like delay. And, you know, as I was preparing for this and I was thinking about this, I was thinking about last year. Last year, a whole group of us went down to the jungles of Peru. And so let me tell you, to fly from here to Lima, it's a six-hour flight. Easy, right? Six-hour flight, no problem. From Lima to the jungle, it's an hour and a half. So we're talking about a total of 7.5 hours flight time, right? So that's easy to do. We can jump in a plane, fly down there really quick. We're there, no problem. We're there, we're excited, we're ready to go. At the end of the week, you're ready to go home, aren't you? You're like, man, I'm ready to get back to my bed. I want to get back and to the things that I know. It took us 39 hours. 39 hours to get home. And I want to tell you, when you're in a foreign airport, you can't act like Americans there. You need to behave. Because those cops there, they carry AK-47s. So I'm just saying, all of us, we all behaved. We were good. We weren't rude Americans. We did the right thing. We found a comfortable place to sleep, and that's what we did. But that's the thing. I want to talk to you today about some people in Scripture that we're a lot alike. We're a lot alike them. We're a lot like them. This was a people that wanted it, and they wanted it now. They wanted it. They didn't like the delay. And so we're going to be talking about the Israelites today. And let me give you a little background on them. They were in slavery. They had been in slavery for so many years that they knew nothing else but being in bondage, being a slave to their captors. And they were in Egypt, wasn't their land, and they worked. They had to work. And I'm sure, and when I study this, I'm pretty sure that God gave them a dream of being a free people one day. That they dreamed of having their own land and being free and being able to work and do things for themselves. But these people, they were in captivity by the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, they saw that they were getting bigger. Their population was growing. And so what did they do? They made them work harder, made them work longer. And what happened? The Israelites continued to grow. And their numbers got bigger. And then God, he wanted his people out. He wanted them to have freedom. And see, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's holding you captive today. I don't know if it's finances that are holding you captive or relationships that are holding you captive or what it is. But I'm sure you can relate to them wanting to be free of that. You want to get free of that debt. You want to get out. You want to be able to have that freedom. And that's what they were doing. They were looking forward to that day. And God sent Moses to them. And he told Moses, he said, I want you to free my people. I want you to get them out of there. And this is where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up with Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine territory, although it was the shortest route. God said, if they see they have to fight a war, they may change their minds and go back to Egypt. You see, this was an unorganized people. They weren't organized to fight. They were workers. They were slaves. And God knew that they wouldn't be able to make that two-week walk without some preparation. And that's our first point. God uses delay to prepare you. You see, it was only a two-week walk if they went the main route to get there. The shorter route was only a two-week walk. God took them a different route because that short route was kind of like a war road. It was kind of like the Egyptian war road. They had different military stations all along that road. And God knew that if his people ran into that difficulty, if they ran into resistance because the Egyptians are going to want to turn them around and send them back, to Egypt, because this is a huge workforce that's leaving. And so God knew that, but he also knew that he wasn't ready. They weren't ready for that kind of struggle. And so God used delay to prepare them. You see, here's one thing about God. He's never in a hurry. We're in a hurry. We want it now. We want to get going. But God, he's not in a hurry. He's going to take his time, and he's going to do things in his time and in his way. But God prepares us for difficulty through delay. Because when you have that God-given dream, difficulty's coming. And we're going to talk about that next week. But number two, God uses delay to test us. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you in the desert for those 40 years. Taking away your pride, testing you, because he wanted to know what was in your heart. He wanted to know if you could obey his commands. You know, God knows what's in your heart. God knows exactly what's in your heart. He doesn't have to test us to understand what's in there, but he tests us so that we know what's in there. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You see, we as his children, we don't always know what's in our heart because our heart can deceive us. And we also know through Scripture that from the mouth comes the overflow of the heart. So when you find yourself in delay, when you find yourself in that pause button, how do you respond to it? How are you responding to that delay? Because that delay is going to reveal something about your heart. When we're in that delay time, when we're in that time where he's taking us that long road, when he's taking us around that place that we don't want to go, we don't ever want to go there. You know, it's like, as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about a conversation that Suzanne and I had about IKEA. I just love that place. And their path around through there is called the Long Natural Way. If you've ever gone to IKEA and followed their little path, it's called the Long Natural Way, and Suzanne hates that. She just wants to go straight there. But sometimes God takes us the long, natural way to get us where he wants to get us to. But we want to take that shortcut because we want it now. But here's what we need to do in those times. We need to listen to God's word. We need to remember it. And we need to obey it. Because how we respond to the test of life tells a lot about our heart. But I kind of want to shift gears here just a little bit. Because that's how God uses delay. He uses it to prepare us, and he uses it to test us. But there's four things that God says don't do when delay comes. And I want to talk a little bit more about the Israelites. Because we are so much like them. So God took them to the edge of the promised land. And he told them, he said, I got a place for you that's filled with milk and honey. It is so good there. And this is your land. This is a place I have for you. And I want you to take it because I'm giving it to you. And so one day, God spoke to Moses. And he said, I want you to take one person, one leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to send them into the promised land. I want them to go in. I want them to check it out. I want them to see what it's all about. And I want them to come back and to report to you. And so Moses did that. He called together the tribes of Israel. And he selected one person from each of the tribes. And he had the 12 guys there. And he gave them in some instructions. And this is what he said in Numbers chapter 13. He goes, see what the land is like, whether the people that live there are strong or weak. If there's few or many, is the land that they live in good or bad? Do their cities have walls around them or not? Is their soil rich or poor? Does this land have trees or not? And then he told him this. He goes, I want you to do your best to bring back some fruit from that land. See, God's already told us that this is a land filled with milk and honey, and he's already told them, I'm giving you this land. This is yours. But the spies had to go in and check it out. And if you drop on down a little bit to verse 23, it says this, because they went in, they searched, they went all over the place. They went into every region of the land. And before they came back, they cut off a branch with one bunch of grapes on it. They carried it on a pole between them. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Picking up the phone today, going, hey man, wife's sending me to the grocery store to pick up some grapes. Can you go with me? Because I can't carry it by myself. But that's not what it is. That's not what it's like for us. This is more what it's like for us. We get to go. And we get this. We don't need to have a pole to put it on. We don't need to have a couple of buddies to come alongside of us and help us carry it there. I can't imagine what that cluster of grapes looked like in Scripture. I can only take what God's Word says and kind of compare it to what I know. It doesn't take two people to carry this. They have a little plastic bag you put it in the store. That's the people that we're talking about. These people were given this land. God had showed them along the way. He prepared them all the way to the promised land. They're at the edge of the promised land, and now then they can go into it. And there's four things that God says don't do when delay comes. And the first one is this, fear not. Don't fear. Just don't fear. In Scripture, it tells us over 100 times, fear not. When God tells us not to fear, I think we don't need to fear. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to get afraid when God's taking you someplace you've never been or taking you someplace that you don't know. It's kind of like Margarita. We're taking her to the jungles of Peru. We're going to leave her there for 6 months. The only thing that she knows about the jungle of Peru is the things that I've told her. And, I can get a little sneaky sometimes. I had fun with her. And then my mom, she had fun with her today, too. She goes, oh, you better watch that one. And so, she doesn't know what's going on. So I'm sure she has some fear about going and living someplace where she doesn't know anybody. She doesn't know the culture. She doesn't know what it's going to be like. But she's not letting that fear stop her, and I'm just so proud of her. But Numbers chapter 13, verse 33 says, we saw Nephilim there, and they were, and we felt, check that out, we felt as small as grasshoppers, and that's how we must have looked to them. So they go into a land that God said, this is your land, and they saw giants there. They think they saw some giants that Scripture tells us were lost in the flood. And so they're seeing these giants, and they're going, man, we look like grasshoppers. We are so small, so insignificant to them. We can't go against them. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is the giant in your life that's keeping you from following your dream? Is it finances? Is finances keeping you from following your dream? What about time? Does time keep you from following that dream? Or abilities? I don't speak Spanish. I'm going to the jungle of Peru. What about age? Is your age keeping you from it? Or what about confidence? Do you have the confidence not only in yourself, but God to see you through that dream? Because there's a couple of things I want you to know about fear. Because fear is going to do some stuff to us. First of all, fear is not of God. God doesn't give us fear. He gives us confidence in Christ. But fear will keep you in the desert. Fear won't let you move past the delay part to get you into that dream. Second thing God says, don't worry. Don't worry. In Psalms 37:7, it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Now, guys, we've already determined the fact that we don't like delay. We don't like to be still. We want to move. We want to be on the move. We want to go, you know, we want to get out there. We want to go. We want things fast. We don't like to sit still. But being still is an act of faith. Because sometimes we need to be still and be quiet and listen for God. As I studied this, as I was looking at this and preparing for this, I couldn't help but think about this hog pen that I grew up hearing about. And if you've been here any amount of time at all, you've probably heard me talk about the hog pen that my dad used to tell me. My dad grew up on a big farm back during the Depression, and my grandfather had several hands that lived on the farm that they took care of through the Depression. And there was one man that my dad said he watched this guy as he was growing up on the farm, that he went out in front of his house one day, and he built a hog pen. And he built his hog pen knowing that he didn't have a hog to put in it. And my dad said that he watched this day in and day out while that man lived on the farm. That at night he would go out and he would pray over that hog pen, and he would ask God to put a hog in that pen supernaturally. And every morning that man would get up and he would go out and he would look to see if there was a hog in that pen. And of course, there was never a hog in that pen. And my dad would always say to me, he would say, you know that God can put a hog in that pen supernaturally, right? I'm like, yes, I know that God can do anything he wants to do. I know that he could put a hog in that pen. He said, you know what the problem was with the man? I said, no. He said he never was still. He wasn't still long enough to hear what God had for him. And that's what Scripture is telling us here, that we need to be still in the presence of the Lord and wait on the Lord. I've heard this said so many times. If God brings you to it, he's going to get you through it. If God brings you to it, he's going to get you through it. And I think that's something that the Israelites lost sight of. I think this is something that they just forgot about. And so the next passage that we're going to look at is going to show us our next point. It says, don't get discouraged. Numbers 14, 1 and 2 said, all the people of the Israel community raised their voices and cried out loud all night. They complained to Moses and Aaron, if we had only died in Egypt or the desert. God told them, I'm going to take you to the promised land. I'm going to take you someplace that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you someplace that is awesome and it's yours. But they got there and they got afraid because they thought they saw something that was bigger than them. They felt they didn't feel confident in themselves or in God to conquer that land because they saw those people were big and they saw that their cities had walls. And there were, you know, there were 12 men that went in. Moses led several thousand out of captivity. 12 men went in. 10 men came out and lost their faith. They lost their confidence in God. And that quickly turned to discouragement. And that discouragement quickly ran through the community. It ran throughout the entire camp. And it turned to doubt. They began to doubt their leadership. They began to doubt God. And that doubt turned to unbelief. And that unbelief turned into rebellion against God. You see, God's saying, I got something for you that you, it's going to blow your mind. It took 2 men to carry a cluster of grapes out. God showed up in their life all the way through. He got them out of captivity. He led them to water. He fed them. He got them to they're standing there in front of the Red Sea. They got mountains to the east and mountains to the west, and they have the Egyptian army coming down on top of them. They have nowhere to go. What did God do for them? He opened up the Red Sea and they went across on dry land. And he's going to show up, but they forgot those things. They got discouraged with that. But there were 2, Caleb and Joshua, that they kept their faith. They kept their faith all the way through it. Several million came out, but only 2 saw the promised land. Only 2. It took them a long time. God delayed them. He delayed them for a very long time. They were young men when they went into the promised land for their first time, but they were in their 80s when they finally got to go in and live in the land that he promised them. So I don't know where you are in delay, but don't get discouraged. God's preparing you. He's testing you. You guys can come on up. The last thing is, don't forget your dream. Don't forget your dream. Psalm 106, verses 7 and 8 says this. It said, our ancestors in Egypt, they did not learn from your miracles. They did not remember all of your kindness. So they turned against you at the Red Sea, but the Lord saved them for his own sake to show his great power. You see, God's given you a dream, but it's not just your dream. It's God's dream that he gave you. It's part of his dream. And he didn't give you that dream for your glory. He gave it to you for his glory. He didn't give it to you to get the praise. He gave it to you so that he would get the praise. He didn't give you that dream so people would see what you could do. He gave you that dream so people could see what he can do. So don't forget your dream, because we can get so caught up in life. We can get so caught up with the day-to-day that we tend to forget where God showed up last week, we tend to forget that dream that he gave us. You see, we're in that stage of delay right now. But have confidence that difficulty is coming. It is coming. And you may be here right now, and you may be here today, and you're going, you know what, Charlie? My life is nothing but delay. I'm in constant delay and difficulty. I don't know this God that you're talking about that gives dreams. He's never given me a dream. Well, this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to meet him. Because I believe in all of my heart that everybody should have the opportunity to meet him. We as a church, Pastor Jesse shared with us a couple of weeks ago that God has given this church a dream of diversity, where it doesn't matter your background, this is a place for you, that this church has a place for you, that God has a place for you. Part of that dream is that we make him known. That we get to know him. And if you don't know him at all, let me tell you why. He is an awesome God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. When he forgives you of something, he doesn't remember it. Because so often you and I will go historical with people. We'll hold their past offenses against them. But he doesn't hold our past offenses against him, against us. He just doesn't do it. Because he loves you and he wants you to know him personally. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to ask the elders if they would go to the back of the room and just kind of hang out back there for us. And if you want to have that opportunity to know him deeper, I know that they would love to talk to you. I know they would love to share with you how easy it is to accept him as your forgiver and your leader, because he's ready to accept you into this family. We're about to sing a song. And while they sing this song of reflection, it's going to be a song talking about what we believe as Christians, how we believe in God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to have a relationship with him today, I want to encourage you to get up and go to the back of the room and find one of our elders and pray with them. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.